You ever just have one of those days when all you want is peace? You've heard it from everybody that has it to say. Starting from the kids in the morning, you know, to your spouse, to the people you work with, your boss, you know, the police officer that pulled you over. You never had one of those days? And so I've come home, I'm tired, you know, there was a meeting, it was late, and I just want peace. So my mother-in-law has bought us, I don't even know, all of you probably know what it is, I don't know what it is, it's just really cushiony that goes on the bed. So it's a really cushiony thing that goes on the bed, and it's just so comfortable, and I just want to get home, and I just want to lay down, and everybody's already asleep, it's, you know, on this night is a real blessing, you know, so I leave them all in the living room floor, and I go on, it's dark, my wife's already asleep, so I don't want to wake her, because I might have to, you know, hear it, why I'm so late, and all that kind of stuff, and so I'm just, you know, just going to kind of sneak in there, lay down, and I finally lay down, I'm like, oh. And then I feel something. And it's at that place in your back that you can't get to on your own. I'm frustrated. I don't know what it is. It feels huge. And it's when I get up, it's no longer on the bed. It's on me. So finally, like, you know, at 11:30 at night, I just go and I just get in the shower. And like half a Pop-Tart falls to the floor. So finally, I'm Pop-Tartless and I just want peace, you know? And I think that's what everybody wants is peace. You know, a little peace and quiet. You know, just not having to argue for a day. Not having to be intense about something. We just want peace. And then we read this great verse. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. And it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers. So, a couple of things here. As Matthew is writing this, we have these things that we call the Beatitudes. And if you've been coming for a little bit, either Wednesday or Sunday, we're kind of preaching through the Beatitudes. And as you read the Beatitudes and you go through the blessed are those people, and blessed are these kind of people, and blessed are these kind of people, I want you to know it is working against a theology of salvation by works, because you cannot earn salvation. You cannot work hard enough for it, and I cannot work hard enough for it. So how do you explain, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God? Because it kind of sounds like if you'll just be a person who makes peace, then you get to be a son of God. It's kind of what it sounds like. But that's not what it is at all. The Beatitudes aren't like, well, if you'll be these things, then you'll be a Christian. But rather, it's inverse. It's, if you're a Christian, then these are the things that should come out of you. And I'll be honest, I kind of like all of them until I get to this one. Blessed are the peacemakers. Because when I think of the ultimate peacemaker, I think of Jesus. And I think of what Jesus has done so that you and I can have peace with God. Did you ever really think that you're at war with God? I mean, do you ever think of it in those terms before you're a Christian? Because that's exactly the situation. That's exactly what's going on. But that's not the issue. That's not what's being said here. The Beatitudes are the essence of the believer's life. And so if you indeed are a Christian, then you should be a peacemaker. And yet I find that what is inside of me is just division and controversy. And nobody's called me a drama queen, but, you know, I'm probably kind of a drama queen. How many of you are drama queens? A guy can be a drama queen too. And yet that's what's inside of me. Why do you think reality TV is such a hit? It's for the controversy. It's for the fighting. And she said this, well, yeah, well, you're this. And, you know, and we love that. And we get into that. Don't we? And how many of you just like that drama in your own house? I mean, how many of you just get home and there's just going to be hell to pay for everybody that's in that house, because that's what's naturally inside of me. I want to find something wrong, and I want to be divisive, and I want to get in your face, and I don't like this. And I always, you know, And when you're a pastor at a church, you really know that that's human nature, because not only are the pastors kind of like that, but everybody else is. And imagine listening to the opinions of 4,000 people about worship. Because somebody always wants the songs not to be so loud. And the person waiting in line behind them to complain is the person who says, you know, I can't hardly hear anything. And then there's somebody saying, it's so dang cold in the worship center. And a person behind them like, why is it always hot? And it's always, that's what it is. Because our nature is to be upset about something. And to be mad about something. And so together, we just start to say, I just want some peace in my life. Well, the way you get peace in your life is to be peace. And to be peaceable. And to be a people who love peace. And so when the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God, that just means this. They ought to know that you're a child of God because you're a peacemaker. Because that's what you're about. You never know what goes on in people's lives. Thomas A. Kempis said this, all men desire peace, but very few desire those things that make for peace. Just like people desire to be godly, but they don't desire the things that help to make us godly. And so tonight, blessed are the peacemakers. And I have to start the message just by asking, don't raise your hand, just answer this in your mind. Are you a peacemaker? Now, our human nature also wants to say, well, yeah, I think I'm a peacemaker. Well, ask who's ever closest to you if you're a peacemaker. Because they can tell you, I love it, everybody's talking to each other. And I see some are going like this. It's hard to gripe somebody all the way into the worship center and then hope they say, yeah, they're a peacemaker. If by peace you mean always railing on me and getting on me and being critical, yeah, they're a peacemaker. But that should be one of the ways that you identify the life of a believer. And you know what's so tough about talking about being a peacemaker in church is so many people in church are not peacemakers, and that's why most people don't go. Hey, what I have to deal with at church, I can deal with at Walmart in the parking lot. And then here are all this group of people who are supposedly peacemakers, and yet we've got like the worst reputation of almost any other group of people. Why do we shun what God has told us to do in the way of being a peacemaker? I want to come back to my original thing. The only way that you can have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. That's it. You cannot have peace with God any other way. And whenever I say this on Wednesday night, somebody always gets upset. They said, well, it sounds like you're saying Jesus is the only way to heaven. Ding, ding, ding. You win the prize. You understood clearly what I'm trying to say. You cannot have peace without Jesus Christ in your life. You can't do it. And if you're not a Christian, your number one enemy is God. Because God desires to have peace with you. And you know what? God desires to have peace with you so much, He's made a way for you to be at peace with Him. And that was through Jesus. And so, Emmanuel, God with us. What an incredible thing. My 8-year-old, we were driving down the road the other day, and I've just really been feeling like I really need to be talking to this kid more about spiritual things. I mean, we talk about them. And if you're here tonight and you're a parent and you don't pray with your kid every day, I don't know if you're a good parent. You ought to do that. How do children learn to pray? If you're hoping for your Awana teacher to teach them, listen, you are shirking the greatest responsibility God has given you. So your children learn to pray by you praying with them. And I have men tell me all the time, well, I don't pray in public. That's not my deal. Well, then you need to get a new deal. I understand if you don't want to get up here on Wednesday night and pray in front of everybody, but you ought to pray with your children. You should do that. So we're driving down the road, and I said, Sam, have you ever thought how incredible it is, the grace that God has shown us? And he's 8. You know, he's like, yeah, I was thinking about that. I was like, no, Sam, really. I mean, think about this. You and I have sin in our life. I mean, you know you've done wrong things. And he goes, and I know you've done wrong things. I said, well, because he was like, I've seen you do it. And it's true. It's true. And I said, isn't it amazing that even though there's that stuff inside of us, Jesus died for us anyway. Isn't that incredible? He said, Dad, I think he's the best gracer ever. I said, he is. And it really is incredible. And, you know, I don't expect that he grabbed the entire theological concept of grace in front of that car. But if that's another step in that journey, then I'm happy to take that with him. But the only way we can be at peace with God is because of what Jesus has done for us. And if I ask the question tonight, why do you think you're going to heaven? So just in your mind right now, answer that question. Don't answer it out loud. Why do you think you're going to heaven? Now, if you haven't answered, there's a problem. All right, somebody's like, I'm not done. Well, if it takes you that long, then there's a problem. And if you had any other answer other than, because Jesus has forgiven my sin and I've trusted him as my personal Savior, then I'm going to tell you, you need to rethink what it takes to get to heaven. Because I can't earn it. And I can't buy peace with God. But the Bible says that I can have peace with God because of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1 is clear about that. The only way to have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. And that peace is provided. And so now, if you are a child of God, you now have the ability to be a peacemaker. Did you know you didn't even have that ability before? Now, people like to argue this with me all the time. Well, I was a pretty good person before I got saved. I mean, you know, who are you fooling? I mean, come on. We're talking about God. Now, if you're comparing yourself to me, you probably were a really good person. But I'm not the measuring mark. Jesus is. So compared to him, I can't even tell you I was a pretty good person. I can't even say that. Because I was at war with God because of the sin in my life. Because it's an offense to God. Does everybody understand that? It's an offense. God is holy. And so to be a peacemaker, I first have to be at peace with God. And then and only then can I truly be a peacemaker. I wanted to start off that way because I know some of you here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And you're praying for peace. You're praying to have a peace. And I want you to know, you're not going to have it until you have a relationship with Jesus. It's the only way to have peace. And then I don't mean that all the puzzle pieces of your life fall together. I'm not saying that either. But I'm saying the beginning is that you must have peace with God. And can I tell you something? Everybody just look at me. And God wants to be at peace with you. And that's why Jesus came and he died on the cross and his blood was shed, so that our sin could be forgiven and we could be at peace with God. And it's a phenomenal thing. It's an incredible thing that this God, in all his holiness and his righteousness, would save us. That's incredible. That's unbelievable. And I agree with my son. God is the best gracer, for sure. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. I told you that these Beatitudes are the evidence of Christ in our lives. And so we have a passion. And so we have a desire to live this way. And I understand if you're here tonight and you feel like, man, I'm missing the mark. I'm divisive. I'm confrontational. I'm all these things. Listen, you can still have a desire to be a peacemaker. And if you're a Christian, you should have that desire. It should be there. It should be evident somehow in your life. Because I promise you, I have a desire to be a peacemaker. And I want to be a peacemaker. And I have to battle against the old nature that's there. I heard a pastor say that the Beatitudes are the nails in the coffin of the old nature. That we are trying to kill that old self that was there with all its sinful desires and all those things. And these Beatitudes are just to show us, here are the things that you ought to be seeing in your life. And I'm going to be honest, I think this is the hardest one for us, to be a peacemaker. This is the hardest one because we all have pride, we all have an ego, and we all feel like, hey, if somebody says something to me, I'm going to stand up for myself. And people ask me all the time, don't you think I should stand up for myself? And I always say, no. Jesus has already stood for you. And that's the most powerful stand that could ever be taken. And so live at peace. Live to be a peacemaker. And these things have to be evident in our lives. Now, I've served in 4 churches. And I have to tell you, I think it's a major work that's going to have to be done in the lives of the people who call themselves followers of Jesus. We've got to hear this. We've got to receive this. And we've got to live it this way, to be a peacemaker. In just a couple minutes, I just want to run through a couple of things just to say, here are the things we need to check in our lives. But I want to encourage you tonight. Are you really a peacemaker? And you've kind of answered that in your mind, but are you really a peacemaker? Because this is what should be evident as children of God. This is what people should see. When I was thinking about the message, I was thinking about how tough this is in my own life. And so I'll just, I'll be a little vulnerable tonight. I mean, this one is tough for me, and I feel like I'm always looking for some kind of controversy or something that's not right or something that I can be critical of. And I'm so glad my wife is not here tonight. Because I'm going to be honest, Billy Graham said the true test of a Christian is the way they live at home. How are you doing there? How are you doing? I remember my wife, she was getting on the kids and she was kind of raising her voice, and I came in and said, you shouldn't talk to the kids like that. And she just looks at me and she goes into the other room, and about that time, a cup gets knocked off the table. I'm like, who did it? Gosh! And I hear this feminine voice from the other room.
You shouldn't yell at the children.
Oh, it's different this time. You ever feel like it's different for you? It's because we're not peacemakers. I feel like I'm exempt somehow, but we're not. I just want to share with you in Philippians chapter 4. And these are just, to me, these are the steps. These are what we need to do. I mean, if we can admit that we are recovering from not being peacemakers, then here's where we should begin. And in Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4, it says this: rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so we've got to live at peace. The first step to that is to know that God and God alone is worthy of our worship. You see, as Christians, as biblical Christians, we are what is called monotheists. Everybody say monotheist. Very good. Some of you woke up at that moment. That's good. Monotheist, and that means this: we believe that there is only one God. That's it. One God. And we believe that with all of our hearts. And the Bible teaches us that. And the Bible, right here in Philippians, there's just this beginning. If you are having a tough day, and people call a lot of times, and man, there's some guys that I love dearly, and they're struggling with different issues, and I always give those guys my cell phone number. I say, if you're just having a tough day and you feel like you're about to go over the edge, call me. And those calls always come when I'm about to go over the edge. I'm like getting on my wife, like, you just be quiet. You need to listen to me. I'm trying to talk here. I'm the man of the house. Ring. This is Pastor Jamie. Pastor Jamie, I just feel like I'm about to lose it. Really, I don't know how that feels. And this calls always come at that time. Because we are reminded right here in Philippians, it all begins with God. It's the only hope that we have. If I have any hope that's in me, there's nothing there. And I have no hope. And is there a chance I can be a good husband? Not if it's up to me. Is there a chance I can be a good father? Not if it's up to me. A good friend? Not if it's up to me. A good employee? Not if it's up to me. A good pastor? Not if it's up to me. And so Paul tells the Philippians, so here's where we're going to begin. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I love that. Y'all, that's powerful. And a lot of you have been in church for any time, you've heard this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And we kind of hear it and say, oh, that's cool. But think about that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And that always is a very significant word there. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's so significant. He says, listen, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. No matter what's going on, no matter where you're at, rejoice. If you want to have the peace of God in your life, here it is. You've got to rejoice. And you know what I have to do to rejoice some days? I've got to think about something that I can rejoice about. And yet, I always have this one thing that I come back to. God, thank you that you saved me. And I can rejoice in that. And you know, then you have those other really good days if you're married. I can rejoice that I have my wife. And almost all the time I can rejoice in that. Almost. And it's probably a lot more times than she has that experience. But rejoice in the Lord always. And so finally I'm looking for something. Lord, what can I be thankful for? And I promise you, if you ever take a moment and you're feeling so down, like the world is so against you, and you stop and say, Lord, I'm just going to try to think for a minute if there's anything I can rejoice about. And you know what you're going to find out? You don't have enough time to be thankful for what God has given you. You don't have enough time. I don't care how awful things are going on in your life. You can always find something. And he says here, you want to have peace. You want to be a peacemaker. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Then listen to this next thing. Let your gentleness be evident to all. If the Bible says, let your gentleness be evident to all, do you know what that means you have inside of you? Say it. All right, four of you. All right, that's pretty good. Let's just say it together. Some of you maybe are struggling. Gentleness. Now you. Oh, I love it. And some of you look at me mean like, just preach. Let your gentleness be evident to all. But God, you don't know my neighbor. God, you don't know whoever it is. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Has anybody ever described you as gentle? Anybody? Okay, this is going to be a good sermon for tonight then. All you crusty, mean people, listen to this. Let your gentleness be evident to all that they would know that we are followers of Jesus, that they would know that we love Him. And how will they know that? Because of the kindness that comes from us. Now, I know it's not there in every moment. That's why we're still on earth. Because we've not been perfected yet. So in the meantime, I want that gentleness to be more and more evident to everybody that I meet. Even those I meet in a bad way. Even those who are criticizing me. Even those who are saying things to me. I remember I was at a church and I was having a hard time and there was a family. And I don't know if you've been to a lot of churches, but sometimes you go to churches that we call family run. Right? And that means everybody in this family, their name is on a stained glass window and on the pews. They kind of own the place. And man, this lady had said vile things about me. Me! I mean, how could anybody believe any of that stuff about me? Right? That's what I was hoping. And apparently quite a few people could be persuaded. And it was just a hard time. And I just remember telling my wife, when I see him, I'm going to tell that family, I'm going to tell them how it is, and da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da. And she says, and this is her favorite line, you tell them, preacher man. And I told her, the Bible says vengeance is mine. She goes, no, the Lord says the vengeance is His, that you trust Him. And it's hard. Because when, you know, at least like when you're out in the world, the people that hate you will tell you they hate you. At church, they hug you. They follow after Judas, you know, and so here I see this lady on Sunday morning. Well, Pastor Jamie, get over here and give me a hug. And I told him, I was like, I started to say something. My wife says, why don't you go hug her, honey? And it's hard. But I'm supposed to be a peacemaker. Listen, not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a child of God. And so my gentleness needed to be evident to that family. Now, I'd love to tell you the story that, and they all came to the altar crying and begging my forgiveness. Because the Lord did that. Well, it never happened. They talked and talked, and I'm sure when I left, they said I was the sorriest pastor that had ever served in that church, you know, and those kind of things. But I can say that I did my best to show my gentleness to that family. And I know I didn't do a great job of it, but I knew that that's what I needed to do. And it's hard in the moment. It's easy here on Wednesday night for all of you to say, that's so great. I'm going to do it. I'm going to let my gentleness call me at lunch tomorrow. And I'll just go over the sermon again. When you're having a super tough time at work, our gentleness needs to be evident to all because it matters, because it's important, because God is not this boss, you know, who just wants His employees doing busy work. He's He's our Father. And He's calling us to live our lives a certain way. Because you know what He's willing to do with that? God is willing to use the way you and I live our lives so that other people will be impacted with the gospel. Because one day, you are going to be gentle and kind to somebody who doesn't deserve your gentleness and your kindness. And God is that'll be the thing God uses to break open their heart to the gospel. Now, how many of you want to be used like that? Man, that's how I want to be used, you know. And yeah, that's awesome. And, but you know what's tough? I just like, God, will you just bring a couple of them back and have them tell me that? It was your gentleness, Pastor Jamie. It was your kindness. Why, thank you, you know. And but God usually doesn't do it that way. You know why? Because it's not about us. And God is just saying, are you willing to be used? Let your gentleness be evident to all. You know why? You know what's followed up with that? Because the Lord is near. You know what that means? He is coming back. Jesus has promised that He is coming back. And if your sin has been forgiven, then we will go to heaven forever and ever in eternity. And the deal is, so let your gentleness be evident to all because I am coming back. And the Bible promises that. That all this stuff, all this trivial stuff that we worry about all the time and that gets us off guard and robs us of that gentleness and that kindness, all those things are not going to matter when Jesus comes back. It's not going to matter. And He's saying, let your gentleness be evident to all because the Lord is near. It is coming. It is time. And we need to heed that. We need to hear that because I am convinced that the only hope for humanity is the gospel, is what Jesus has done on the cross. And they don't have a hope if they don't have Jesus. And I want to do whatever I can in my life that they might see Jesus. And so Paul, he spells it out here clearly. Let your gentleness be evident to everybody. Let them see that. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Now, I love reading that verse in church. And I love, because some of you are just shaking your heads like, yes, don't be anxious about anything. That's good. But that's hard. I mean, we seem like the most stressed out people in the world. I don't know about you. Other than Jesus being born, I hate Christmas. I hate this time of year. And we're going to this thing, going to that thing, and doing all these things. We got to shop. And, you know, good Lord, our kids don't have anything, so we got to go get them 50 more things, you know, for the holidays. And I told my wife, we're not doing it. We are not doing it. I am putting my foot down, if it's okay with you. Don't be anxious about anything. You know what this is about? Trusting God. I mean, if you want to be a peacemaker, you're going to have to trust God. I don't know if you've ever tried to be a peacemaker, but you know, generally, the process of peacemaking involves somebody saying what? I'm sorry. And those are like really hard things to say sometimes. Especially when you're wrong. Seems like it's easier to say you're sorry if you're not wrong. Because you feel a little righteous about that. Well, I'm sorry. My fault. But to say, I'm sorry, and the process begins. Well, you know what you have to do? You are trusting God when you do that. And you are trusting that God is going to make whatever offense was there, that He's going to heal it. And you know what I found out about God? He can do that. He can do that. He can heal that. But it has to begin with somebody. And I appeal to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, it should begin with us. It should begin with us that we should say, you know, I'm sorry. And if you're not wrong, I'm not telling you to lie, but I'm telling you, I am sorry for what is between us. I am sorry for that. I grieve that, and I don't want that to be there. I'm sorry. And that's why Paul writes here. So don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. This is how you be a peacemaker. So I'm not going to worry that I may say I'm sorry and they may respond by saying you should be. Has anybody ever told you that when you said I'm sorry? They've said it to me. I remember going to this family who hated my guts and feeling like I need to begin a healing process. And I went to them and I said, I just want to say I'm sorry. And they're like, well, it's about time. Okay. That's why we're afraid. Because what if they won't do this? What if they won't say they're sorry? Well, then how are we going to have peace with that? Well, my first peace has to be with God. And when I tell somebody I'm sorry and I mean it, everybody with me? God begins a healing process. And that person may never be at peace with me, but I can be at peace with them. Because all I'm ultimately worried about is being at peace with God. And so we should be different. We should be different. I mean, there should be something real to this thing that we call our faith. We should be different. And so all these things, he finally says this, when you do this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Do you know how powerful that statement is? That transcends all understanding? Have you ever had peace about something that you shouldn't? Like that there's no human logical way that you should have any kind of peace at all, but you get it? Oh, that's from God. That is His peace that transcends understanding. That's an incredible thing. And so sometimes my wife's like, aren't you really bothered by that? And I'm like, I'm really not. And she's just think I'm being oblivious again. But no, it's the peace of God. And it is a powerful thing. And I'm telling you, it strips your enemies of any power over your life. They can't have it. They can't manipulate you anymore. They can't make you mad anymore because you are at peace. And it transcends everything they do to you to make you not have peace in your life. And it's a powerful thing. So finally, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're going to have a time of altar. And I just want to share with you this last thing. That this peace that God gives, the Bible says it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that is such a powerful thing. Because I think at the root of our ulterior motives is our thinking. It's what I think in my head and in my mind. And I think that I want justice. And I think that I want revenge. And I think I want these things. And the truth is, all I really want is for me to be happy or me to be pleased or for me to be somewhat satisfied. And I got to be honest, I am satisfied in vengeance. And I am satisfied when somebody gets something paid back to them that they deserve. You see, that's my old nature. And I can kind of revel in that. Why are y'all looking at me like that? Don't we do that? Aren't we kind of like that? And that's why the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. For they will be called the sons of God. That you and I could be the children of God. And one of the very evidences is how we relate in all the relationships that we're in and how we treat people and how we love people. Some of you are here tonight and maybe some time ago something was done to you. Something was said to you. Somebody hurt you or wounded you in some kind of a way. And the enemy has chose to use that for as long as you will let him. And I want to appeal to you tonight. Let this be the last day. Because God has a peace that transcends all understanding. And so you might leave here tonight with the same problems, but guess what? You look at them with different eyes. You react to them with a different heart. And so this peace, it transcends all understanding. And he says, and he'll guard your hearts and your minds. Sometimes it alter, you know, some of the most powerful things that happen. Is that somebody would come and they would bring something that has brought total confusion and chaos to their lives. And they bring it to the altar. And you all know this. It's not like that you leave it here and you don't have it anymore. But this is what God does with it. He allows us to see it in a different way. Tonight for the altar, I want to plead with you to come to this altar. Some of you say, man, you don't understand. I've had this for 25 years. I'm going to ask you to come tonight and give it to God and say, God, you know, because I don't know what your prayers have been. My prayers are always, God, take this away. And you know what I've learned? God doesn't always want to take it away. God wants me to learn how to deal with it and how to conduct my life with it there. So what do you do? So now my prayer is, okay, God, if you're not going to take it away, Show me how to be a peacemaker. Show me how to love. Show me how to forgive. Because it's my heart and my mind that are screwing me up. So God, help me to think about it differently. Help me to feel about it differently. And He will do that. He will do that. And so you're having a moment and you're on the edge and you're wondering what can be done. And you can have a peace that transcends all understanding. You can have that. It's possible. So I want to ask you to come to this altar tonight. I'm going to ask you to really trust Him tonight. To really give it to Him. To really say, God, if You're not going to take this away, then show me how to deal with it. Show me what I can do, God. Help me to think about it differently. Help me to feel about it differently. God, would You do that? God will do that. And I want to tell you, I asked a question at the very beginning. Why do you think you're going to heaven? And in a room this size, some of you weren't sure. And some of you thought you're going to get to heaven because you're a pretty good person. But I hope that's been dispelled tonight. It doesn't matter how good you think you are. Because you don't have to be good to get to heaven. You have to be perfect. Does everybody hear that? Everybody thinks that's a false teaching, but it's totally true. If you didn't have to be perfect to go to heaven, why would Jesus have died? You could have got there on your own, but He died. And guess what? When you are forgiven by His blood, the Bible says you are made perfect. Not because of you. And that doesn't mean you won't ever mess up again. But spiritually, when God sees you, He sees His Son Jesus. And that's the only hope that we have. So if you're not sure, you don't know, or you had some other answer, I'm asking you to come to the altar tonight. Pastor David will be here. I'll be here. We would love to pray with you. The greatest thing that could happen tonight is somebody would give their life to Jesus. And other great things that can happen tonight is people will be healed. And the people would lay things down that have plagued them for so long, even if it means I've just got to look at it differently. You can do that. Father, we love You. You're the only hope that we have. And I thank You that You would not have called us to be peacemakers if it couldn't happen. So not only do You call us to be peacemakers, You give us what we need to be such. So I pray for every person in this room. I pray for those who are struggling with things that have been done to them. Father, may they see it differently. May they feel it differently. I pray for those that don't know You. And I pray they come to the altar tonight and say, I need the blood of Jesus to forgive me. So Lord, I pray You'd save people tonight. I pray You'd heal people tonight. And I pray we would respond to You. We love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask you, don't wait to start singing. Just come to the altar tonight if you need to do that. You come.